Last Sunday, I was preaching at our own church in Bournemouth, and I chose as my text the seven words, "He is not here, he is risen." The words that the angel spake to Mary, the two Marys who came to the tomb on that Easter morning. And of course, there was a tremendous message from that, and it was quite a significant meeting for those ladies. The first thing that they did when they got to the tomb was to see this angel. And they met with an angel, which for them, of course, was the first time, I suppose, and something very significant to them. But it occurred to me in the week that actually it wasn't so much the importance of meeting with the angel, but it was what happened when people during that Easter day met with the Lord. And so we're going to be thinking particularly about meeting with the Lord. Three characters or people who met with the Lord. Some would say there were five different appearances. One of them is Peter, we don't know much about, so we won't mention him. And it's very difficult to sometimes pick out exactly what happened. When COVID first started, and the first Easter, I picked off a book on my bookshelf, which I've never read, which was all about the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. And the writer had gone to great trouble to try and put together what Matthew says, and Mark says, and Luke says, and John says, and fit them all together. And when I finished the book, I thought to myself, I think he's right. And then I thought to myself, it is so difficult that I would never be able to explain that to a congregation. So I just accept that what Matthew says is right, what Mark says is right, what Luke says is right, what John says is right. But it's difficult sometimes to see what happened next, or why that was given there, and how that's described in that way. It's not easy to fit them all together. But having said that, we know everything happened on that Easter day. So first of all, we're going to go to the garden. And this is the garden tomb in Jerusalem, which some people think is the actual tomb where the Lord Jesus was buried. We can't be sure of that, of course, and the Catholics would say it's another place, but it was a tomb very much like this, and it may well have been this very place, because this tomb is in a garden, and it's not far from the place that they call Calvary, and it was obviously owned by somebody who was wealthy, like Joseph of Arimathea. But the interesting thing is that they used to have a door to make sure that nobody went into the tomb, and they shouldn't have been, just affixed to the masonry there. And it said on the door, "He is not here, he is risen." Which of course is the great message of Easter. So we're going to go to there, to the garden, and there's a very distressed lady there. And we read what happened. She'd gone to the tomb. She'd seen in her account from John two angels, but the body of the Lord Jesus is missing. And this is a woman who thought so much of the Lord. He had changed her life. He had cast from her seven devils. And because of her tremendous devotion to the Lord, she was the last person, as far as we know, to leave the cross. And she was the first person on Easter morning to get to the tomb. That shows something of how she felt her devotion to the Lord Jesus. But when she gets there and she finds nothing, and she imagines immediately that somebody has taken the body away, the tears begin to fall. And she feels so sad, so upset, so distressed that the body of the Lord Jesus is not there. And what happened was this, of course, that she sees the empty tomb and she stays and cries. There's a lady in great, great distress. And what do we read? Jesus was standing there. To a woman in deep distress, the Lord Jesus comes to her. Not to one of the disciples, you might have thought. Not to somebody else of great significance in the country in those days, but he came to a crying, weeping, distressed lady. and he came to be exactly where she was. Now we know that the Lord in that resurrection body could move around and go where he wanted to, but he chose to come particularly to people who were in need. And he chose to come to this dear lady, to come to show to her sympathy and to show to her kindness and comfort. She thought he was the gardener. She didn't recognize him. And she asked, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get, you'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she recognized the Lord. She mistakenly thought he was the gardener. But one word from the Lord Jesus, and she realized who he was. An interesting thing is that the Lord Jesus knew who she was, Mary, he called her, where she was in this garden, and what she was. He knew that she was desperately upset and desperately crying. And what a tremendous thing it was that suddenly she realizes Jesus is alive. And no wonder she said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The Lord said, "Don't hold me. I'm not yet returned to my Father." There were reasons for this when he said that to her. But you can imagine how thrilled she was. She met the Lord. And what's the lesson that comes from that? I think most people felt that 2022 was one of the most difficult years of their lives. All sorts of difficult things happened. And politically, things were a disaster. And economically, things were very difficult. And most families seemed to have troubles after one after another. And in that situation, what a tremendous comfort it is to know that the Lord knows about those things. He knows where we are, who we are, what we are, what we're going through. He sympathizes with our tears. He understands the problems that are going through our hearts and our minds. He came to her, sympathized with her, and showed her truly who he was. I've spoken to people over the years and they've said, "I knew more of the Lord Jesus when I was going through a difficult, hard, very unpleasant experience because I just felt he was so close to me." And it seems as though Mary was privileged to have that very experience of the presence of the Lord right beside her at that time. And she must have felt that. If you look in Matthew's Gospel, this is where the problems start, because it says that Mary left the tomb with her friend, and as they came down the road, they found the Lord Jesus, and he appeared to them. Now, whether that was the same occasion as in Matthew 20, I can't be sure. But I know that there's a second emphasis that Mary met the Lord with her friend Mary, and this time Jesus said to her, "Greetings," which is probably better translated, "rejoice," and it says they cast him by the feet and they worshipped him. And maybe out of the tears, there came from Mary's heart a spirit of worship because she realized that he was alive. That picture I showed you of the Garden tomb, we were there on one occasion years ago, and the first time we went, I think, and we've been shown around the garden by a guide, and he was a Cornishman actually, and when he got to the tomb, he said, "Now listen," he said, "some people think Jesus rose from the dead here, some people think it was way back over the other side of Jerusalem where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is, some people just don't know where it could be." He said, "And I don't know, and I'm not an archaeologist or a theologian or somebody who's really high up in these things." He said, "But you ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart." And that was a personal testimony of this dear man, standing by the garden tomb, and he said, "He lives within my heart." And sometimes we don't realize that, do we? How wonderful it is to know that he is alive, he knows our names, he knows all about us, he knows our situation, and he comes to sympathize, to comfort, to help us. So that was the first occasion that we know about. And Mark makes it very clear that Mary was the first person to meet the risen Lord. Well, it had been a busy time for the disciples, and the two of them were going down the road to Emmaus. We know know the story from Luke 24, and they obviously lived in Emmaus. They were walking from Jerusalem, which people think is about 7 miles away, and they were going home after the Passover celebrations. And they were talking about what had happened. They had both thought that Jesus was going to be some sort of Messiah who would overcome the Romans, and they would have a new kingdom and a new king. And now he'd been put to death, and they were disturbed because people had said the tomb was empty, and some had said they heard that Jesus was alive, but they didn't know what had happened, what to say. If ever there were people that were confused, they were confused by all that had happened. And isn't it interesting that just as they were confused, we have these words: Jesus himself came up and walked with them. He came and walked alongside them. But they, just like Mary, did not recognize him. I've heard people say the sun was in their eyes. But I just wonder whether God made sure that they didn't recognize him until it was his time when they would see who he truly was. And so they walked down the road and the Lord conversed with them. He asked them, why are you downcast? Why are you discouraged? Why are you upset as you are? And they explained about the Lord Jesus and how he had been so great, and how they had been crucified, and how they said this tomb was empty and all that had happened. And the Lord said to them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And suddenly they begin to understand why he hadn't come to be the king at that stage, that he had come to go to the cross, to die for our sins, to suffer, and then to enter eventually into his glory. And there followed this wonderful explanation. We don't know how long it took, what detail the Lord Jesus went into, but beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I think some modernists, some very liberal people say, you don't need to worry about the Old Testament. Christianity is in the New Testament. But actually, Christ is in all the scriptures. And he said that, and he explained to them about these things. And maybe he talked about Abraham taking Isaac up onto the mountain, and how that was a picture of what would happen when the father took the son to the cross. Maybe he talked about the offerings on the Passover day when he killed the lamb in Egypt. And maybe he talked about all these things that pictured all that was going to happen. And eventually they began to understand. So they got near to the place where they were staying, and he said, you stay here, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. So the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and prayed it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Just like Mary had thought he was the gardener, and then when he spoke, she knew who he was. And these people didn't realize who he was, but when he took bread and gave thanks, they'd seen him do that, maybe on many occasions. And possibly even as he took the bread, they could see some marks on his hands, and they recognized who he was, and he disappeared from their sight. It was quite an amazing thing for them. They recognized who the Lord truly was. And when you think about it, that was again a remarkable experience. How often you and I are discouraged. We don't understand what's happening. Things are happening in our lives that maybe we can't explain or understand, just like those disciples. And isn't it good that Jesus himself drew near and went with them? A very special thought as he came and walked with them and explained why things were happening as they were. And it helps us to understand what Romans says, that all things work together for good to those who love God. He explained to them what had happened to him and why that was significant. And when he took the bread, they recognized him. Again, they knew he was right beside them. So the Lord had known about the woman in a garden who was really upset. He knew about two people on a journey who really didn't know what was going on at all, was so upset and confused. And he went to help them understand. and he showed them who he truly was. In BS, every 4 or 5 years, we have an annual conference. And one of our early ones, some years ago now, was in Enniskillen in Northern Ireland, and the conference group joined the church on a Sunday morning, but the church wasn't big enough for everybody, so somebody had a big garden, so we had an outside service, and it was quite amazing that the weather was absolutely perfect, and the church got all the chairs they could find, and everybody got seated in the garden. It was a lovely atmosphere, and I was very honoured to give the message, and I spoke about the two going to Road to Emmaus. And I just finished just by telling the story how the Lord opened their eyes and they recognized who he was, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he taught us by the way?" And as I finished, somebody started singing some quite amazing words, and they were this: "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands." And that was so moving, and I felt that's what the Spirit does sometimes. That little song came to that man, and he just suddenly started to sing it, and as we sang it the second time, everybody joined in, because in every experience, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. And that's what happened that day. And they, of course, when they realized who it was, rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that they had seen the Lord. And the disciples were already shut up in the upper room, and they were pretty upset too. They were despairing. The door was locked for fear of the Jews. And once again, the Lord knows. There's not just a woman in a garden who's crying and distressed, or two men on a road that don't know quite what's happening and discouraged. But here were the disciples despairing what was going to happen to them. Were they going to be arrested? Were they going to be put in prison? What would happen to them? Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And once again, the Lord is there, right where they are. They're hiding from the authorities. Jesus came to them, and they didn't recognize him at first. If you read Luke's account of what happened, they thought he was a ghost, a spirit. They didn't think it was the Lord Jesus. But here, he showed them his hands at his side. And then they realized who he truly was. They recognized his voice, I think. They recognized his hands and his feet. They saw the evidence of the cross, and they knew it was the Lord Jesus. And in a wonderful way, the Lord again was just what they needed. He said to them on two occasions, we read in the John 20 record, "Peace be with you." Peace is, of course, the way that the Jewish people speak to each other when they say good morning in any situation for anybody in the street, in the shop, wherever they are, they say shalom. And on the Saturday, the Sabbath, they say Shabbat shalom. That's their greeting. And this was more than just a greeting. The Lord was saying, "Peace be with you." Because we know that there was a sense in which man was in enmity with God, but he has made peace by the blood of his cross. And we know that if we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was of greater significance. And he had said to his disciples, "You'll be troubled, but my peace I will give unto you." And now he comes and he brings into their troubled, despairing hearts real peace. Then they saw it was the Lord, and they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Eventually Mary, read carefully, she was joyful. I guess the disciples who had to run back to Emmaus, from Emmaus to Jerusalem, were full of joy. And these disciples here in the upper room were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. It was a really special time for them. And whenever we come close to the Lord, he brings joy to our hearts, doesn't he? It's a wonderful thing to know the reality of the joy of his presence But once again, he had come to people who were in need, who did not recognize him when he got there, but he revealed himself to them, and they realized how wonderful he was, and how he met that particular need. The tears of Mary disappeared, the uncertainties of the two on the road to Emmaus disappeared, and now the disciples saw the Lord, and were prepared to do what he wanted them to do, because he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And they went out to tell everybody, eventually on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus was alive, because they'd seen him and they knew he was alive. So what does it mean to us? Well, we can know the reality of that, of course, in our own lives, the reality of the fact that Jesus comes to us, proves that he truly is, sees in a sense the reality of the fact that he died for us, and we can know his presence. He comforts us when we're distressed. He helps us when we're discouraged. And when we are despairing, he's right there for us in a very special way. And we can know the reality of that day by day. So some of us will know the old Sankey's hymn. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, and redeemed by his sign, I shall stand, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hands. And there's no scripture that says that's definitely true, but when we get to Revelation, and there's a lamb as it had been slain, it seems to me the evidence that he had been on a cross is there in heaven. The fact that he died for us, and the fact that he's alive forevermore. So Paul said, this is the first thing I want to tell you. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose today again, the third day. And we can honestly say, praise God for that. He's alive, and he can be our Saviour. And we can know the reality of knowing he is within us. He lives within my life.